And we're going to call this teaching, Heed to Be Watchful. Heed to Be Watchful. And this is a requirement, I believe, that God will look for in these closing days, that there is a remnant who are watchful, who are in prayer, who are listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. They are not running off before God, but learning to wait and to be led by the Spirit. That is a clear sign of maturity and growth in the Lord. Young children are apt to run off, and they don't always see danger. And that's why parenting is so important, to keep an eye on them and to protect them. And it's exactly the same with us. But there comes a point in our growth where we start to mature and grow, where God, if you like, lengthens the reins so that he trusts us and we've got more movement, we can do things that we couldn't do when we were children. And it is similar how we grow spiritually. And it's going to be those who take heed how they're being watchful. They're listening to what the Spirit is saying. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 through to 6. And I want us to look at the church at Smyrna. At Sardis, I should say. This church at Sardis. Now, the admonition to this church is that they're fundamentally dead. It seems lifeless, nothing going on. And a lot of us have come away from churches that were like this, dead, lifeless. And let's read what he says to this church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes and shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I think we can all identify with this. In many ways, it's a lot how Christendom is. But God always has a remnant. He always has, right through the centuries, even in the dark ages when it seemed nothing was happening and the church had completely apostatized and Catholicism was rising up. God still always has a remnant who are sanctified, separated unto him, where he's revealed himself. And it's the same today. We know that if God doesn't call from the foundation of the world, no one will respond. This is the predestination and election of God. You cannot tell God whom he should call. He knows whom he's going to save. And that is the mercy and grace of God. Why? Because he first loved us. And if we know that we are responding, we know that we are calling out to Almighty God, and that we want that relationship with Him, and that He's put that desire and hunger in our hearts for His word, then they are signs you are called from the foundation of the world. And one can take great comfort with that. And we know that if we're called, then we're going to stay with it. We're going to endure to the end. And really, this is typifying this church, what I'm saying. And the key word is to watch. This church showed the outward form of godliness, because he says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So they have a name, it's an outward thing, but they are spiritually dead, save for a remnant that God has. But he says to this church, even in the state that it's in, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So even though there's an outward form of godliness, they meet together like Christians do, even though they may be outwardly dead, God is saying and calling even to those to watch and pray, to repent, to turn away. You see, God never gives up. It's up to man how he responds, but he never gives up. That calling is always there. It's just we don't always want to hear. You see, they only know the name, but not his power in which to change. And that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential. We need to be empowered by the Spirit to change. It is only the baptism of the Spirit that can deal with our flesh, our weaknesses, that in Christ we're made strong. And deadness was the problem with this church. In verse 2, where we've read, it says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found your works perfect yet. So this reveals that some who are going on from others, they leave behind. So they're in this dead church, there's still a remnant that are moving and responding and hearing. How do we know? Because God is addressing them. He's speaking to them. So he knows that there is a remnant who will hear this. And even today. And the watchful are to be on their guard against their enemy. And that's what he's saying here, because he brings this out. It's interesting in verse 2, which he says, be watchful and strengthen things which remain. This word watchful in Greek means to be aroused from sleep, to wake up. Something has woken you, or it's like your alarm clock that's gone off. Now you can either respond to it and get up, or you can turn it off and turn over and go back to sleep. It also means that this watchfulness is where we arise to do something, to serve. And what does he say here? That they are to remember, therefore, how they have received and heard the word. A hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come unto you. So they're being stirred up to be watchful. He's wanting them to be watchful, to be alert. The enemy is around. But in that watching, it's causing them to repent, to seek God, to remove those hindrances to their faith, which God is always challenging us in FGA. Why does he do this? Why is he challenging us? Why is he getting us to walk by faith? Because this is what keeps us awake and watchful. And we know when the enemy could strike like a thief coming at the night. So it enables us to guard against the enemy. It enables us to seek the Holy Spirit strengthening and our faith and our affections to keep awake, to keep going. In other words, it keeps us faithful in a declining state. And we certainly are in a declining state. It's all around us. It's globally. Many churches apostatizing. Brothers and sisters, maybe that we once walked with and fellowship with, have gone back. It's in a declining state that he's calling us now to be watchful, because areas need to be strengthened to remain resolute, faithful, standing, in other words. This is what he's saying. And when we lose watch, we lose ground. That always happens. When you're not watching, you are losing ground and the enemy can get in. How do we know we're losing ground? Because faith is not producing. We're not seeing our faith, the manifestations of the things of our faith. Works, lack of help, all of this starts to decline. Not bothered anymore. Not interested anymore in your brother or sister or those that may be suffering in the house of God, where we can help in a practical way or help in a financial way. We're not sensitive any longer. This is what happens when you're not watchful, not giving to the church, to ministry and its ministry that God shows to support. These are all signs of dying, becoming dead. And God says we have to strengthen those areas. And those lack of desires to meet these things is always rekindled by a prayer life. Here it is in verse 3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. He speaks about strengthening. We've already talked about being watchful, and he says, and strengthening those things which remain. Now, this is an interesting Greek word, and it means to make firm, to be constant, to be fixed, resolute. We get the same idea as those that overcome, that remain faithful and don't compromise. It's all the same understanding. What does it say in Luke 9, verse 51? Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Now, it came to pass when time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So the Lord knows that there is going to come a time in his ministry where he has to set his face, his heart, his determination to go to Jerusalem, because that is where he's going to be crucified. Notice how the Father is preparing him. And it says he sets his face, if you like, his heart steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Here is the same understanding, to make firm, to be constant, to fix your gaze. We know that we are to look to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. You set your gaze on him. You do not look to any other, only him. Here is the same understanding. And so with this watchfulness, and strengthen the things which remain. So this is where we get the idea to watch and pray. Our watching causes us to pray, and our praying causes us to watch in order to remain faithful, to discern, to put the enemy to flight. But this is also where we come alive, when everything around us is decaying and dying and falling away, because we're experiencing now the great apostasy, the great falling away. Why is this so important for us? Because faith must produce something. We cannot just talk this, we have to live it as well. And the only way you can live this walk and go that extra mile and do what God requires of you is when you also have prayer and take it in prayer before the Lord. As I was talking today with this brother online, where they've invited me to preach in their church on Sunday. This is in Pakistan. I think some of you read already what I put there. I said to him, I made it very clear that prayer is needed for this. Get your church to be in prayer for this meeting on Sunday, as well as myself getting into prayer and intercession. Why? Because I know little will happen otherwise. You have to birth it through. Praying and praying in the Spirit about a situation, you have to pray it through. It means you birth it through. The power, the blessing, the anointing is being channeled through you so that it can be visibly seen for the flesh, for the glory of God. That's how it works. So many Christians do not have any understanding that that is fundamentally what prayer does. When you pray, you intercede, you're bringing something from the spiritual, from the heaven to the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think that is achieved? It is achieved by prayer, by believing the word of God, by praying it through. This is why Jesus sometimes prayed through the night. His praying and intercession was birthing through healing, deliverance, salvation. That is why he was able to perform the miracles that he did. All those miracles, and the disciples that followed him, and the others that followed him, was the result of his intercessions, birthing it through. I wish more ministers who preach and teach the word of God see that principle, but they're all caught up in busyness. And that's why you see such little results. And I've stressed this to this brother. I believe he's picked it up, and we shall see what happens. That's why we never give up when we meet together for prayer and intercession and praying as a body. And he also says that in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief in, who will not know what hour I will come upon you. So he says, remembering what you have heard. And this is our problem. We forget so easily. We forget how God called us. We forget how he has introduced us to the deeper life, to the walk of faith and discipleship, the way of the cross. It's so easy to forget, but a prayer life will not let you forget. Why? Because prayer is keeping you in that experience, keeping you crucified with Christ, keeping you walking after the Spirit and not the flesh, keeping you in the love of God so that you can embrace your enemy, keeping you so that you can overcome in trials and temptations, keeping you so that you may be whole in mind, body and spirit. That is what prayer does. And he says, remember this, what I've given to you. Because if you don't, you're no longer building on it any longer. And he will come. And the foolish virgins are going to be left behind. Only the wise go forward. There's so much in that parable. For many, he will come like a thief. Because they weren't ready. They weren't awake. Why? Because they were not watching and praying and praying and watching. If you really know a little bit about what thieves are and what they do and how they come and they rob and take things from you that don't belong to them, if you don't really fully understand that, then you're not going to be somebody watching and praying, because the enemy is a thief, he's a robber, he's a liar, everything, and he's out to destroy you. He's out to take your soul in a crisis eternity in hell with him. That's what he's out to do. Are you going to let him do that? Because half the time this is what Christians are doing. They're almost opening the doors and the windows at night and say, come in, help yourself, take whatever you want, take my soul as well. That's what it's displaying. And you say to yourself, no, can't be, that's mad, that's crazy. But that's what Christians do when they do not watch and pray. As the Lord says. And so God gives us hope. He gives us that grace, that mercy. He strengthens us, empowers us by the Spirit so that we can fulfill all of this. Because you can't do this in your flesh. I can't. But he says he will bless the faithful, who keep coming, who keep listening, and who keep coming before God and talking with him and drawing from that strength. That's how he's going to get us to overcome. I do not understand people who can sit and listen to an anointed word and never go before God or bring some element of the word before your heavenly Father. I know when I hear the anointed word, I can't help but just hear my saying, Lord, Lord, work that in me. Yes, amen to that. I need that in my life. You just can't help but speak it out and ask for it. Because you see the importance, you're picking up the immediacy of the word and what the Spirit is saying, because he says at the end, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This hearing is a hearing that is active, not falling on deaf ears. What does the Lord say in Luke 12? Luke 12, verse 35 to 40. The faithful servant and the evil servant. This again is a warning here. Let's read what he says, 35 to 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, there we are. The warning at the end, it says, when you do not expect. So we're not actually expecting him. In other words, we're not saying, well, I'm going to bed tonight. This is the night when the Lord's coming. No, it's going to be those who are watching and praying. But when he does come, they are ready. And that is the whole point. This is the idea of what Jesus is saying about those who sit up late, go to bed late, instead of being watchful, being careless and keeping awake even while he tarries. And I believe that we are in the time of him tarrying. He should have actually come with all the signs that we're seeing, but he's tarrying. And I know why, because there's still souls out there to be saved. That is the long-suffering and mercy of God. A farmer always waits and has patience for the harvest because he knows he cannot rush it or push it. It will develop as nature works through it. And it's exactly the same spiritually with our Father who is waiting. It's interesting, isn't it, that we are so good at looking after our own houses, but we're not so good at looking after our own soul, where Christ tabernacles in us. This is why we're to walk wisely. We're not to burn the candle at both ends. Believe God that he's going to give you sleep. All of these things that are essential for our everyday walk, that we can maintain that stand before God. And he will do it. He renews our youth like the eagles. He heals and delivers us. He gets us through impossible situations. There are some days I get up, I just don't feel 100%. Or I feel I've just got no energy. Or I battle, I didn't have a very good night's sleep. But I just find myself lifting those hands and saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to hear that confession come out of my mouth. And within a few minutes, it lifts. And the strength of the Lord is there, just taking me on. And you know he's doing that. Because there is a strength beyond yourself, a power that you know isn't of you, enabling you to be able to do what he wants you to do. There are times when I just don't have the strength always to preach and teach the word to you. There's sometimes I just think, Lord, do I have to preach tonight? And then I find myself saying, no, I do this unto the Lord. This is a gift he's given, and he will strengthen me. He will give me the words. He will give the unction of the Spirit. And all he says to me, open your mouth and I will fill it. See, I've learned that one over the years. You see, you learn that as a preacher, teacher. That many, many times you're just moving beyond yourself. And that's why at times when I do listen to the teachings, and I listen and I think, how was that achieved? How did that happen? And I can only give God all the glory and all the praise. And that is how we walk, brothers and sisters, because that is what keeps us faithful, remaining, enduring, staying with it, and not giving up. Don't ask me how he does it. He just does. I'm not out to try and work what he does or how he tries to work physically in one. I'm not interested. All I know is what his word says. And many times he's going to take us that extra mile. This is what the wise virgins do. Why? Because they have that extra vessel of oil, which is the oil of anointing. And that oil is being used and will be used as a reserve. For that is going to lighten the way. That is going to show when the bridegroom comes that we're ready, that we can see. We can see the times. We can hear what he's saying. It's all part of being watchful and strengthening. The strengthening side actually could be the oil, that extra vessel of oil that strengthens us, that gives us that light to be able to see. And that's why, as I close with this, that the wise virgins who are watching, they will allow the word to make them desperate. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. And that is what the word of God is going to do. It's going to make you desperate because there are times you have to press in to the kingdom of God. The Greek word says we actually take the kingdom by force, by violence, desperation. We are pushing in. Pushing in. And how do we do that? By staying with it, watching, praying, coming together, getting under the anointing, hearing the word of God. All of that keeps us moving, pressing in. You see? And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit, he takes over and he will work that in and through you, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. Everything is done by the Spirit of God. We are worshippers who worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. We heed to be watchful. And that's what we've been talking about today. And even though it appears to be dead and lifeless and not much going on, just like this church at Sardis, but God has got a remnant there, encouraging them. And he's telling them what to do in that dead situation. He says, I want you to watch and to pray. And he says, I'll even help you with that, because that is what is going to cause you to overcome and to not be caught unguarded, to be ready when the Lord comes to the saints in the clouds. Because that's the next great event to happen with his church, his body. And that's why we look up as our redemption draws near.